How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. This is a full gear fallout. Last night, AEW Full Gear Live from Newark, New Jersey. A lot of my friends were there. A lot of my colleagues in the world of professional wrestling coverage were there. I was not there. I did not go last night. I did not make it. I had family obligations. It was hard for me to head over to New Jersey. But you know where I did go? I did go to the Hardy Party at Connolly's on 45th Street in Manhattan. In New York, Manhattan. That's how you say it, right? I was there with Rich from Mat Men. We got to see the Hardys, hung out with my buddy John Alba for a little bit. I want to touch on that today, too, a little bit. It was a lot of fun. It was actually great to see, what a great group of people that showed up to hang out with the Hardys. Very cool stuff. But AEW Full Gear is the story. New champions. Some very unexpected. Actually, all unexpected, in my opinion. Big return. I want to get your opinion on this because there was a lot of controversy with the show. Was it too much blood? Maybe a little. And this is coming from somebody that absolutely loved ECW. But I thought it was a fantastic show. We're going to talk about that. Also, Survivor Series preview coming up next weekend. It's Thanksgiving week here in the United States. So wrestling is going to be a little wacky on how the day falls, but we're going to talk about everything coming up. But we are going to concentrate heavily on Full Gear because it was a really, really good show. I really enjoyed it. The crowd was great. It was a good sign for AEW. Listen, when things fire on all cylinders, they do for them. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor. Follow me on X. That's where I live. In order to get in touch with me, get in touch with me on X. Let's talk about this. This was a very long show. Very, very long show. And I will say there is a great argument that if AEW wants to continue doing long shows like this, they really should be doing it in the afternoon. I will tell you a story about a group of friends that were at that show. And you know what happened to them? My acclaimed award-winning producer, MG, here on our side of things of the broadcast.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what happened? This show ended around 12:15.
Let me guess. Stranded.
They were stranded because by the time they got back to Penn Station in New York to get on the Long Island Railroad, there were no more trains for a good hour. They were stranded. They got it. Listen, I'm in my 40s. For me, it's a little bit harder. I want to get home. Show's done. I want to get home. But even if you're in your 20s or in your 30s, it's unnecessary to run a wrestling show till 12:15 in the morning. It's not needed. I don't think it's going to affect them. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll see now with the ratings, with the viewership, because I know that they did better on Max. They had higher numbers on Max. Tony said this during a scrum. I know what those Max numbers were for the last two shows that they ran on Max. But the anticipation is that it's going to continue growing because that's really the only one that you're marketing. You're not marketing any other avenues to order this other than just saying on pay-per-view. So it's going to continue growing. Now, that number is not 100,000. I'll tell you that. Eventually, maybe they'll get there, but I want to see how that kind of balances things out. But the numbers should be better. We'll see what the overall is. But this was a very good show. It just ran very, very long. The tailgate brawl kicked things off on TBS. TNT? TBS. TNT. TBS. TNT. Sorry. The Bang Bang Gang defeated Max Caster. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because there's so much going on here. But the Bang Bang Gang defeated Max Caster, Anthony Bowens, Big Bill, Brian Keith, and the Outrunners to win a $200,000 when Robinson pinned Bowens. He is wacky. Juice Robinson.
Juice Robinson's a lot of fun, dude. I don't know what you do with him, but he's a very entertaining for what he does.
Very, very entertaining. Boom and Doom. Big Boom AJ, QT Marshall.
Main event.
What? The main event. The main event.
Your Big main Boom. Event.
My main. This is my main event. Big Boom AJ and Big Boom AJ and QT Marshall with Big Justice Aaron Solo and the Rizzler coming out in a cape. Now, by the way, QT looks incredible. What a body transformation, huh?
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked great.
Looked good. They slimmed down quite a bit. You could tell, definitely.
They defeated Trent Barreto and Rocky Romero with Don Callis. You know, this was a fun match. The crowd was into it. They like Big Boom AJ in New Jersey. Hometown boys. The Rizzler was wearing a cape. It was what it was. Eddie Kingston and Hook defeated the work horseman. Eddie looks good, too. But we'll see. Not the last we'll see of him. It was also announced that Okada has not arrived to the building yet, so they were teasing that.
Go back to that Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The hook thing would play later, which is very
interesting. Yes, it would. They both would play later. They were both involved later on. I don't know. That what did you think of the ending of that main event?
We're going right to the main event.
No, I just want to get your quick opinion. Just you liked
Swerve
it or not?
Swerve looked amazing. Okay. Yeah, I like Swerve's involvement, but that's
I'm going to be very nitpicky on that main event for a couple of things, okay? Right. Not the match, just the ending. Full Gear kicks off. Mystico, Mascara Dorado, and Neon defeated the Don Callis family. He is a continental champion, but he's also what? What else is he?
He's the
unified champion. Unified champion.
There you go.
Yes. The unified continental champion, Okada, IWGP champion, Takeshita, and Hijitsero. It was for the CMLL Trios title. You know, this was the story. They were teasing that Okada's not on the same page as Takeshita. That played a part in the match. This would start the tailgate brawl.
It started on the tailgate brawl, and then it ended.
I think that's a lot of fun to do that. And it's also, if you're marketing this, like, that, isn't that exactly what you want this preview show to be?
Mm-hmm.
You watch the preview show, you start watching, and then people are complaining, like, hey, I wanted to watch that match. Now I got to pay for it? Yeah, now you got to pay for it. Sorry. I get that. I think that's brilliant. I think that's a great idea. Okada made his entrance on the main show. Takeshita, of course he did, right? It's Okada. It's going to be on a pre-show. Takeshita and Okada were taking shots at each other. Essentially, what happened here is that Okada hit him with a Rainmaker. There was a lot of miscommunication. They weren't on the same page at all. At the end, Okada's pretending that he's apologizing to him because they lost. Just continuing that Takeshita Okada storyline that's going to continue later on. A lot of later on's happening here. Pieces in the beginning, and then they fill you in later. Pack and Darby, what you make of this?
This was, again, we talked a lot about at the beginning about too much blood. It started here. With Darby bleeding everywhere. But I liked it. I liked it.
Pac just murdered Darby the entire match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He tossed
much.
Him around and he beat him. You know, I was trying to figure out, you know, who did this benefit, right? Did this benefit Pac?
I would say yeah. Because something's going on. Something's going to go on with the Death Riders, I think. And
at this point,
Pac might we get like a little coup, like a leadership coup, and Moxley because of where his character is going.
Yeah,
and maybe Pac is the one to take that over. Just a thought. I don't know if that's
he looked great. He got rid of those stupid suspenders, you know.
Yeah,
which I made a comment about last week. Yeah, he looks incredible. He looks great. But this was an interesting match because it was really, in my opinion, it was more one-sided than not. It was a display of Pac and how dominant he is, and Darby was just there. But you're right. This is where the blood began. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of blood throughout this entire show. The Timeless Time Bombs. Tony Storm and Mina defeated Marina Shafir, Megan Bain.
Bombs.
The Timeless Love Bombs.
So corny name, but okay.
I love it. You don't like it? I like it. The Timeless Love Bombs.
I just think it's a little corny. It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I love them. I love Mina and I love Tony. She's fantastic. Marina Shafir and Megan Bain with Penelope Ford, the Babes of Wrath, which is Harley Cameron and Willow, and the Sisters of Sin, Julia Hart and Blue Sky with Thecla.
I thought Toni Storm was amazing in this match.
Her
the way she works is really old time classic combined with some like comedy, and it just works for her.
I think she actually did an interview with Sean Ross Sapp where she breaks character. I don't know if you saw that. If you go to Sean's, I guess Fightful's page, you could check it out there. It was really funny. She breaks character talking about her all time favorite movie and how terrible it is. I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but it was nice to see her break, go in and out of that Timeless Toni Storm character. When we come back from break, I'm going to break this down. I want to talk about a couple of key points from this match and everything else that happened on the show. Again, big loaded show here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I'm going to go right into this. I thought Toni looked great. I thought Mina looked great in this match. They're really setting them up to possibly be the first women's tag team champions here. That's the story. What they're doing is that the winners of this match were picking the semifinal tournament stipulation, the match. So
for their specific match.
For their specific match. So I don't know what they're going to go with, but I thought it was a really great display of everybody. Everybody worked super hard, and this was needed. You know, you have these big, like, you know, multi-person matches. We saw them do a great job with that blood and guts match, and we saw that happen again here. This division has come a very long way, the women's division in AEW. From even a year ago, they've gone, a very, very long way they've come along. So that's good to see. This was interesting. The AEW national title. First of all, I want to say, I love it. Forget about the whole, there's a billion belts, right? Let's ignore that. I absolutely love this design. It's the old NWA television title. I believe it's the NWA national title too, at some point. Do you like this title? I thought it was beautiful. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely old school, for sure. I really liked it.
I skipped this match, by the way, by mistake. FTR and Brodito. You know what? Let me touch on this. I love this match. This was great. FTR looked fantastic.
Might have been my match of the night.
This could have been a match of the night. This was an incredible, incredible tag match. But really, if you ask me, Brody King has really, from last year's Continental Classic to today, it really, he has had a great year. I mean, just a great, you know, featured year for him. As a singles or as a tag, it didn't matter. He really worked hard. He looked great.
Might be one of the best wrestlers of the year, but he's not going to get credit for it. But yeah.
You don't. He's not going to get credit for the best wrestler of the year, but.
No, but.
Really.
He had that kind
incredible.
Of year.
Yeah, he had that kind of year. I mean, really, if you look at, especially for a big man in that company, because you don't necessarily hear a lot about the big guys in that company shining like that. He really was shining. This was great. FTR defeated Brodito, win the AEW tag titles. Is this going into Edge and Christian?
Who's this Edge guy you talk about?
Cope. Cope and Christian.
I was going to rib you for that.
Cope and
know.
Cage?
Maybe.
Cage and Cope? Mm. I don't know. We'll see. I hope, you know, that's an interesting match for them to do. Now let's talk about Ricochet here. Ricochet pinned Kevin Knight to become the AEW National Champion. Did you like this? I thought this was a nice Casino Gauntlet.
I thought it was fun. It was fun. You know, the only thing that really distracts me, and I don't know why, it's the intervals that change, that they're not the same.
You're not on Titan time. You're on Tony time.
Yeah. Well put. But Ricochet came out like 30 seconds after they started the match.
Because it started off with Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. And I'm looking at these two guys and I'm like, oh my God, they're so big. They just started doing graps.
Yeah.
They just were wrestling. And he comes out and he's like, I don't want to see this wrestling crap. I want you two to fight.
That was kind of funny.
We actually had a lot of grappling and wrestling on the show. Because we saw that with the Tony Storm. We saw that with this. Oh my gosh, I was going to call it Sasha Banks. I'm so sorry. Mercedes Moné match, where it was a lot of like on the mat wrestling, which I really liked. It was a nice little break from everything else happening. But this started off with Bobby Lashley and Shelton. I thought Bobby was going to take this title.
I did too. It was kind of swerved.
And we were swerved. And Ricochet
swerved us because Ricochet was getting just destroyed by everybody. He was like the butt of the joke for the entire match until the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you like the title?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very classic, very old school. It's bigger than the NWA version, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It looks great. I like these throwbacks to the old titles. Why not? You know? But again, that's a whole different discussion because the conversation here is that we have too many of them. We have too many of these titles in this company.
And they've combined titles and we're bringing more titles back. And it just sometimes it puzzles me why, but if they can get them on the show and make it mean something, then so be it.
So be it. Yeah, I thought this was fine. I'm curious to see where this goes and how they position this title. You know, what is the purpose of this title? Okada has the unified, whatever that means. You obviously have a world title. You have your TV title and the TNT title. You have the Continental title, but that's not really a title anymore, right?
Well, it's just combined with Okada's.
So whoever wins this Continental Classic, do they get Okada's unified title?
Yeah. I don't know. They haven't said yet what it is. We'll know more this week, but it could be for an opportunity against him. I don't know. We'll see.
But he's in it. He's in it.
He's in it. So, yeah. That's what they're doing. They're doing the same thing they did last year, just a different title, different name.
Okay.
Is all.
Yes. Different name. We'll find it. We'll see. We'll see what they do. Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher. Talk about blood. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go backwards. Kyle O'Reilly, John Moxley. No holds barred. This was bloody.
Yeah, here's where it got really.
Kyle was bleeding within like. Somebody was bleeding within like a few minutes of this match.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Kyle?
It was Kyle.
Yeah, it was the fork
by
spot.
By the end, they both were. Yeah. Oh, it's like, so Bryan Danielson did his best to set this up as like trying to differentiate it from a normal hardcore match where he's like, it just means we can use holds that the promotion won't like us to use. And then the fork came out and I'm like, okay, now we're just back to good old hardcore.
I mean, what holds can you not use in a no DQ match?
Well, he was talking about not here, but in WWE, like the use of a pile driver, for instance, is what he kind of was alluding to.
But they use a pile driver all the time.
I know. That's what he was trying to sell you.
Yeah.
And then the fork came out.
You know, he tried. He tried to do it. The story of this match was, you know, the violence, obviously, the sheer violence of it. Kyle has Moxley's number, and that's what we've learned. We've learned that Kyle O'Reilly, for some reason, knows how to beat John Moxley. Very UFC-ish, you know? You got this dominant force that is running through the roster, is a decorated champion, and then he meets one person that has his number, and he knows how to beat him. Not only did he beat him 10 days ago, 11 days ago now, he beat him again. He submitted John Moxley. With all that blood, all that violence, it was a submission finish by Kyle O'Reilly. I really like this match, but this match is more of a story for John Moxley and what's going to happen next.
Like I said, I think there's going to be some tension in the Death Riders. I think that's where they go with this.
Yeah, we need something different, you know? We'll see. Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher. Again, another Kyle match that was covered in blood. I did not expect this title change, I'll be honest with you. Mark Briscoe defeated Kyle Fletcher to win the TNT title. He had a custom belt already. You could see it in the media scrum. He has a camouflage leather backing now on that title belt. What did you make of this?
This was a well-worked match. I thought Mark Briscoe, they're kind of trying to do right by Mark Briscoe, right? And they finally give him he's had titles before, but finally give him a title again. You know, and they were playing up his brother a lot. So
yeah, in the scrum too, he brought up his brother. I thought this was good too. The good display for both of them. Obviously, we know what Kyle Fletcher is capable of. Again, this was very violent. There was a screwdriver, a Phillips head screwdriver spot. Was it a Phillips head? Yeah, it was. Well, Kyle was stabbing Mark Briscoe in the head, and then he licks the blood, and then you see it on his tongue. Ugh, yuck.
Yeah, that was. And then when they did that spot, I'm like, please not, please let's not.
Well, you know, now in the lore, he's also a vampire. He's also a vampire. So now we have three. We have three of them. No, four of them in AEW. We have Danhausen. Danhausen's obviously a vampire. He's a Dracule. You have Hangman Page. That's a vampire now. You have Swerve Strickland. He's a vampire. And now Kyle Fletcher is also a vampire. Any other vampires in that company? Edge and Christian, they're vampires, right?
No.
Edge and Christian, they're vampires.
Again, who's this guy you speak of? Okay.
I'm all about the vampire lore in professional wrestling. That's all I want to see. I just want more vampires. Kyle Fletcher being one of like a sexy vampire. He could just be shiny. He could be that kind of vampire. You have different levels of vampires. You have a Bram Stoker's version. You have a Twilight sexy version now with Kyle Fletcher. You have a Danhausen vampire, you know, like an old macabre, like old time vampire. You have all the different ones. When we come back, I promise you, no more vampire talk here on the show. We're going to continue on with the show. Josh Alexander and Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express. Again, another match that had to tell a story here. Didn't matter about the match didn't matter as much as the story. And even in the main event, that was kind of part of it too. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Continuing on with our Full Gear recap here. Josh Alexander and the Young Bucks defeated Kenny Omega and the Jurassic Express to win $1 million when Nick pinned Jack Perry. So, it was an interesting thing because there was obviously some sort of issue between Josh Alexander and the Young Bucks, right? That was a part of the match. They didn't want to take the pin, the tag. The Young Bucks have been conflicted whether or not to help Jurassic Express or help Kenny. You know, this started on the last pay-per-view and it's continued on here. The Bucks are broke and then they're not, and then they're broke and then they're not. So they win. Nick pins. He hit him with the BTE trigger. Got the pin on Perry. The family attacks Kenny Omega and the Young. And so essentially what happens, the Don Callis family comes out. They all celebrate. You know, they're handing. They have the money. Callis is walking back with the Bucks. They're on the ramp. They have the money in their hand. They're attacking Kenny. You know, the Jurassic Express is dead in the ring. And the Bucks are conflicted. What do we do? Do we take the money? Do we stay with the Don Callis family? Do we help our former friend? They choose to help their former friend. They run in the ring. They clear out the ring. Final moment. Kenny goes. They give the big hug. The Elite is back.
Oh.
You liked it.
That got a pretty big pop from the audience. But But I popped and they panned back to Don Callis on the stage. He's like, I'm keeping this.
So he has $1 million now. Yeah, it's his money now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's his money. This was fun. You know, I think it's good to keep Kenny like this. Put him in tags. Have him work trios. You could do something with the trio titles with the Young Bucks again. You know, you could do something. He doesn't need to be working singles, but at least having him there in something is better than nothing. Save these one big special matches, you know. Save it. You do it only
a
couple times a year.
Run again.
No, we will. But, you know, until he's totally fine, you know, if he's dealing with something, let him deal with it. And I'd rather have him like this. So I thought this was fun. Here is what happens, right? So this match, the crowd was kind of in for the Kenny and the Jurassic one, right? But they totally died for the Chris Statlander and Mercedes Moné match. And unjustifiable, I'm telling you, because I really enjoyed this match. This was a really good match. They suffered from the timing. Remember, it was getting late. These people were there since 5 o'clock.
Yeah, this started at about 11. I can't know for sure.
It was around 11.
Look it up, but it was about 11:40 when this match.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, it was after 11. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Eastern time.
I was suffering at this point. Okay.
Right.
So
I think I was too.
I ended up having to rewatch this entire match this morning. And the main event, I rewatched again this morning. Like I was in and out. I was so tired. So I, you know, watching it this morning. Without kind of remembering all the blood prior and all the everything else that happened, in a vacuum, I really liked this match. It suffered, obviously, from its placement. It suffered because the show was long as far as crowd reaction goes. But I thought they looked great. It was, you know, it was a very different match compared to everything else happening on this card because everything was so high octane and violent. And this was a wrestling match. Mercedes did the three amigos 13 times.
Right.
She did the 13 amigos. Yeah. That was a nice spot. And then it told the story. She went for the frog splash after, but she was so exhausted. Chris got her knees up. This was a good match. And it was one of the losses, rare losses for Mercedes Moné.
You're telling that story. Her, she can't win the big one. She can win all these secondary titles, but can't win that one.
But cannot win that one.
And I think what's going to happen, she's going to lose them. And then she's going to have a, I think this is going to lead to a babyface turn. Doesn't that feel like it? And then she wins it as a babyface? Is that what they may be doing?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't get that vibe, but they're going to have to tell something here, you know? But that is an interesting story that she just can't win that big one, but she can win everything else. Or she just gives every title up. She says, you know what? I don't need everything else. I just want one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way out of defending those titles and handing
flying to Poland and Austria and wherever else she hopes.
Yeah, she'll just mail him back to Poland. I guess. I mean, I don't know. Unless somebody, you know, she promises she'll come back and drop the titles to people. That's a lot of title drops that happen over
those promoters. Yeah, it's a choice for those promoters to put it on there in the first place. But they probably get draw. They probably have bigger house draws when they have her on the show. So it's worth it for them.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Main event: Samoa Joe, Hangman Page, steel cage match. You know, they're both incredible. Hangman came out to the Red Dead 2, a song from Red Dead Redemption 2. That was the theme. That is what it was. So for people who were asking, Hangman looked great. Joe is incredible. Very bloody match. Very violent match. An ending I did not see coming. So Samoa Joe wins the AEW World Championship for the second time. I thought the match was fine. I'm going to be overly critical, right? It's a steel cage match. So, of course, people are going to try to come in. I just don't understand the logic of being distracted by the guy that's suffering to climb that cage or attempt to come in. You know, like you're too distracted when there's a Shibata. Yeah, the Shibata one. It was, why were you so distracted by Shibata when he was so far away from doing anything? I didn't like
First of all, you knew that was going to happen because I don't know if you noticed there was they cut out footholds in the cage on one side. I was like, someone's climbing that cage.
Of course. Of course. Eddie Kingston comes in to prevent them from going in the cage. You got Hobbs that comes in. He gets in the cage. Total, you know, the ref is knocked out, can make the pin. Hangman did a buckshot. Hangman did what is it? What's the other one he did?
I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
The backwards DDT. The backwards pile drive. My brain just drew a blank. Whatever it is. Sorry, can't remember. It was, you know, Hangman was in control. He won the match, and he just had no ref. Mm-hmm. And here comes, you know, Samoa Joe gets him. 1, 2, 3. Match is over. Samoa Joe wins the title. All the ops come in. The dojo comes in. And here was my problem. What an amazing moment. Lights go out. It should have been Swerve slowly coming down the ring. Not Prince Nana dancing. Okay.
I love it
for any other moment. I love it for any other moment, but this was a big, serious moment. Samoa Joe was standing in that ring. They did that wide shot of him. He is covered in blood, head to toe, with the world title, with the ops on the side. The light is beaming on him. That super hyper white is on him. It's almost blinding looking at him. That visual was fantastic. Lights go out. It Swerve's is home on fire on the graphic. And you know what? It's Prince Nana dancing. Swerve has the most serious look on his face. He looks like a million bucks. Oh my God. I got goosebumps and Swerve is dancing. And Nana's dancing behind him.
It's different music. So it was a different.
It was
different
a different
cadence.
Music.
It didn't even look right.
Different cadence, so, different music. And he's dancing in this serious moment. This man in the ring, covered in blood, head to toe, Swerve, serious look on his face. Nana is dancing.
So we should be reminiscent. We would be reminiscent.
Wait, and let me say this, right? I'm going to tell you this. There was a moment. The camera has a tight shot of Swerve with a serious look. And I guess whoever was directing noticed how ridiculous and stupid this looks. And Nana is peeking and dancing like through his armpits. And he immediately cut the shot back to the ring.
It didn't fit, is what you're saying.
I know they do dress rehearsals, right? And I know you wanted him there. You didn't need to do it this way. It diminished the value of what was happening. You took something that was so serious, a very serious moment with the relationship that these three have and the moment that this was, and Nana is dancing.
So we should also talk about the fact that Hook switched sides.
Hook switched to the ops.
Part of the
He's
story
back
too.
With Joe. He's back with Joe. So that's going to tell a story.
I wonder if they were going to pay it off at some point, and they did.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to explain what happened here. But that really, and I tried to look at it from a different point of view. I tried to say, hey, okay, maybe you just want what you want. Is that what this is? But no, it's not. You diminished the seriousness by having him front and center. Like, if he wants to do that, have him back on the ramp. Have him come out behind him. You didn't need Nana in the middle, front and center, that entire moment. It really hurt the moment, in my opinion. If I'm going to be hyper overly critical to a fantastic show. That's just my opinion. But I thought it was great. I like that Swerve is in the mix now. So you're going to get Swerve and Joe. Hangman is there. By the way, Swerve comes in. He attacks some of the ops. There was one that looks like Shane Gillis. He ate it. Hangman wakes up. Helps Swerve. They're looking at, you know, now they're in the ring. They're staring at Joe on the ramp. The show ends that way. Full circle. We're back to where we were. Great show. Very long. Great show. Also, I teased this on Twitter last week, and I said, you're going to be happy. Essentially, this is going to be a very stacked Continental Classic. Very, very stacked Continental Classic. We got the first three participants announced. Okada, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. This was a backstage moment. Kyle was essentially saying, hey, what the hell happened? Why didn't you guys help me? And Okada with the line goes, look what you did. You upset him. You upset Kyle. Kyle. I thought it was great.
Okada's low-key hilarious.
I thought that was fantastic. I thought that was really funny. I really liked the show, man. I really, really did. I thought this was a really fun show. You know, we'll see where they go from here. Tony said the numbers were up on Max, which is very accurate. It was bound to be up since this is the new pay-per-view era for them. He also said that Kyle O'Reilly was likely not cleared. He has to deal with some injuries. I'm guessing that's story-driven. He said that in the scrum. It was fine. It was a good show. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few more things and also do a quick highlight of Survivor Series. Obviously, we ran out of time here. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Just quick notes before we go through the War Games lineup here. Regarding time start and show length, Tony, during a scrum, said that he was interested in changing around the start times. And he thinks he won't run another show so late on the East Coast on a Sunday. So, you know, we're going into Sunday pay-per-view, so he'll probably wrap it up earlier. He was also asked about the potential Warner Brothers Discovery being sold to a company that has ties to WWE. Const point blank said he's not worried about it at all. So that's good. All right. Survivor Series next weekend. Women's World Championship. Stephanie Vaquer defends against Nikki Bella. You can look, but you cannot touch. Did you know that? You know that, MJ.
You can't win the title.
And you cannot win the title. Intercontinental Champion John Cena defends against Dominic Mysterio in San Jose. Dominic Mysterio's hometown.
San Diego.
My apologies. San Diego, not San Jose. I like San Jose. You know who's from San Jose? Our very own Dave Meltzer. He's a San Jose boy. Women's War Game match, AJ Lee, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Lash Legend, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. And you get the men's War Games match.
Someone's turning on that babyface team.
Someone is turning on that babyface team. CM Punk, Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul, Braun Breaker, Bronson Reed. Are we missing anybody?
They don't have Roman on here.
They don't have Roman on here, and they don't have Lesnar on the sheet that you have. But those are the other two that we got on Monday. So this is a jam-packed Survivor Series War Games. I like that they flipped to a War Games style for this show. I think this was this made the most sense.
It was
also ties in with the name. It needed it. You know that Survivor Series classic tag match really doesn't have the oomph.
They're doing it on Friday, so
yeah, they're doing it on Friday.
It's still going to be there,
but we'll be back next week with more Wrestling Observer Live covering Survivor Series and everything else that happened in the world of pro wrestling. We're out of time. We'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.